Genesis chapter 4. And Adam knew Eve his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock, and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted, and if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. And Cain said unto the Lord, My punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid, and I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth. And it shall come to pass that every one that findeth me shall slay me. And the Lord said unto him, Therefore whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. And Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Enoch, and he builded a city and called the name of the city after the name of his son Enoch. Will you pray with me? Father, we pray this morning that you help us hear and understand and strengthen us with your word. Father, we just ask that you show us the truth of this scripture. That, Father, that you might help us, dear Lord, to grow in our own daily lives as we study your word. Father, we thank you so much for the provision you've made that each and every one of us may approach you boldly through the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. In thy name we pray. Amen. We have just a quick review. We're on the fourth chapter of Genesis. We've been in this story, or in this book for a few weeks now. We've studied about the creation of the world. We talked about the creation of man. We talked about the fall of man. Now we see how sin through Adam and Eve is now affecting their bloodline. These two individuals, Cain and Abel. Cain, translation, means something like spear. Abel would mean something like vanity in the definitions of their names. You'll see in the Old Testament, every name had a specific meaning. When we get to chapter 5, you'll literally see the history and gospel presented in names. Today we're going to talk about the sad result of sin in a parent's life. What happened with Cain and Abel? How would you like to bear the guilt to know that one of your children killed one of your other children because of your actions? Wouldn't that be a heavy burden to carry? See, this story gives us the facts of the confrontation between Cain and Abel and the result of that act of God on Cain. What we don't think about sometimes is how it affected Adam and Eve, what their thoughts and feelings were when they found out that Cain had killed Abel. What was it like for those parents to carry that guilt to know that because of what we did, our child is now dead at the hand of one of our other children? What a horrible burden of guilt that would be to carry. Yet, 9 or 10,000 years later, we still are doing the same thing, folks. We're still sinning, still not understanding the consequence of our sin. Still not realizing that every time that we step outside of God's will, we are handing our children an example. Why do you think that Cain lost his temper with his brother?
Do you think there was not some bitterness in those boys about, in this boy, about looking over and possibly still seeing that Garden of Eden that was guarded by the angel? We don't know how much time has passed since they were kicked out of the garden, but we do know that Cain and Abel were aware of why they had to live the way they lived. And all I want you to get this morning from that is the simple fact of this, is that when you sin, when I sin, when we sin, somebody else will probably sin because of our sin. Now, it's not your fault when your children sin, but it is our fault when we don't take it seriously, the example that we're setting in our lives. Murder has entered the world at this point in the book. And this morning I want to look at Cain and Abel a little bit. Take some time to look how it applies to our lives. It's interesting to see verse 3, and in the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. A couple things in that sentence, and in the process of time, really translated out means the end of days. It would mean that on the Sabbath day, Cain brought an offering to the Lord. It would imply in the word brought that he brought it to an appointed place. So we can grasp from this that God had given verbal instruction to mankind that on the Sabbath day you will rest, even at that point, though the law wasn't given. The translation of the words tells us that they came at a specific time to an appointed place, that they came to bring their offerings. Now, we look at it and Cain brings, you know, he's a gardener, a rancher, a farmer. He grows things. Abel raises sheep, takes care of sheep. So why, just off the top of your head, what do you think was wrong with Cain's offering? Why was God not pleased by what Cain had to offer?
He didn't give him the best of
the crop. Do what?
He didn't give him the best of the crop.
Okay, didn't give him the best of the crop. Anybody else? Wasn't a blood sacrifice? Okay, D? Same thing? All right. Absolutely. Cain brought what he wanted to bring, not what God required of him. From the moment Adam and Eve sinned, it required death to cover sin. Now, we don't have, remember this, I've got to throw this in quickly. Until the law, there was no accountability. There was no sin offering. We didn't have sin offering. What you had was burnt offerings, okay? That's what was brought to God. The term sin offering didn't exist till the law was written under Moses and brought in at that time. But God has specified through the first sacrifice, when he clothed Adam and Eve in the animal skins, that sin required death, the sacrifice of an animal. He had established those rules. Abel was aware of those rules. Cain was aware of those rules. But Cain chose to bring his own offering to God. This displeased God, but it didn't anger God. Okay? We'll stay that in a minute. God wasn't mad at Cain at this point. But Cain brought to God what Cain wanted to offer. You ever do that? You ever offer God what you want to offer God instead of what God says we're supposed to give him? How many of us in our lives make a determination, this is how much money I'll give you, God, not what you say. This is how much time I'll offer up to you, God, not what you tell me. This is how much of my life I'm going to devote to you, not what you ask for. And we bring it and we lay it on the altar. Now, I personally don't think we're any different than Cain in our lives. Now, Cain becomes violent and kills his brother. But at the point he brought this offering to the Lord, I don't think there's any difference between him and most of us. I believe Cain determined, this is what I'm going to give, God. I know what you say, but this is what I'm going to give. And I think, I know I do that, and I think most people I know that do that. See, the Bible gives us specific guidelines for what God wants. We learned last week when we studied the fall that if God says it, it's absolute. It does not change. And I think that's where we have trouble. I mean, we live in a world, in a society, that tries to tell us parts of the Bible were based on social conditions at that time, or cultural conditions at that time. Folks, the Bible is the same from the day it was written. It has the same application. It does not change with time. If it does, then God needs to send down a revised version from heaven. He hasn't done that. Now, there's a lot of so-called revised versions out there, and I'll be perfectly honest with you, many of them stink. They're not a good translation of the original manuscripts of the Bible. But we're not here about that this morning. We're here about the fact that Cain made an offering to God that was not acceptable to God. And it worries me sometimes when I read this story and I look at my own life. Sometimes when I approach God and offer something up to Him, I walk away feeling good about it when it wasn't the right thing to offer. That sometimes I feel like I've done my Christian thing, that I've fulfilled my requirement, that I've done, oh God, you're so lucky today I came to church, that I want to bless God instead of God blessing me, that I want to check marks. Those of you, and we talked about this a little before, those of you who grew up in Baptist churches know that we used to get these little envelopes that had all kinds of boxes on them. You had to check a box if you came to Sunday school, if you brought your Bible, if you're staying for church. I mean, you spent 15 minutes checking these little boxes, but it was exciting. You really did. You had a pure record of everything you thought, ate, or drank for the week right on here. You checked them off. We Christians try to put God in a box to where we can check off what we've done for Him. Those songs, Count Your Many Blessings, we need a checklist of what God's done for us. Because too many times we're trying to hand God what we have left over at the end of the day. And God demands the first fruits of everything in your life. He demands of your time, your money, your love, your life. Cain says, God, you know what? I could go over to Abel and buy me a sheep. In fact, you know what? Abel probably would have given Cain a sheep, don't you think? Well, I don't know. Maybe not. But he could have went over and said, hey, buddy, can I get a sheep for this sacrifice thing we've got to do on Sunday? And maybe he got one. Maybe he could have bought one. But he didn't do that. He says, God, what I have available is a little bit of a grain out here, and I'm going to bring it to you. And God, I expect you to accept it and to bless me over that. And before I go further in the story, I want you to understand, when you approach God and you try to give Him what you think is right and not what He has asked for, that you might as well take it back home. It means nothing. When you bring to God the time you have left over, folks, it means nothing if it's not what He's asked for. When you bring to Him your willingness to help those in need out there, and you've just fitted in, it's what's left over. See, God is not a God of leftovers. God is a God of first fruits, the first that we have. And that's what's wrong with Cain's approach. Now, his attitude was Cain's problem. See, in bringing a grain offering, he is denying the need for a redeemer. If you want to get in theology, you can say the blood sacrifice, which acknowledges our need for a redeemer. And that's literally what was wrong with Cain. He did not acknowledge that the sin in his life required a redeemer. That's what blood sacrifice was. It's just an acknowledgement of a need for a Savior. That's all it was. So Cain's attitude was, God, you and me, we're going to get together and I'm going to bring this stuff to you, but I'm not so bad that I need redemption. I'm not going to offer up the sacrifice that says I need redemption. Now, how did Cain know that he needed to do this? How did Abel know they needed to do this? Well, the Bible teaches us that the laws of God have been in existence since the beginning of time, that there's never been a time that man was not aware of God, what God wanted. I think it's very interesting for us this morning as we go through this story, the term God used that He had no respect for Cain's offering. And this is probably the thought I want you to carry home with you today. I will want you when you leave here today, if you will, to take the time to look at your life and say, does God respect what I offer to Him? Does He have respect for it? He had respect for Abel's offering, but not for Cain's offering. See, God made a provision. You remember when Adam and Eve fell, as we studied last week? What's the first thing God did after they sinned? Anybody was awake last Sunday morning? Tell me that. Okay, but what did he do first? So what's the first thing he did? Okay, God came walking in the garden and says, Adam, where art thou? Is that? No. Now, that gave us a big statement because he does the same thing with Cain. He doesn't totally wipe them out. He doesn't walk away from them. He makes a provision where they can maintain fellowship with him. Is that true? He offers up an animal which clothes them in the skins. With Cain, he gives Cain the second chance. We'll get to that in a minute. I believe it's verse 7. But God made provision with Adam and Eve that even though you've fallen away from me, I'm going to provide a way that you can still fellowship with me. So he made provision for man to fellowship. The same provision that you and I live under. Ours is of the blood, the death of Jesus Christ. Theirs is through the sacrifice of an animal, a covering. So God immediately with Adam and Eve made a provision where they can maintain a fellowship with him. God did not cease to communicate with man even though man was in sin. And he talks to Cain here. And the big point I wanted to get to you there before we get into the meat of the story is to understand that God is a just and a righteous God, that when he writes a rule, that rule cannot be changed or he wouldn't be a just God. It wouldn't be fair. If Adam and Eve lived under a different rule than you and I do, would that be fair? No, he wouldn't be a just God. But we serve a just God where nothing changes. But within being a just God, he makes provision that you and I may approach him, that we might find truth from him. He does not cease to communicate. In your lives, when you fall away from God, you are not able to communicate with him unless you're repenting. But he will communicate with you through the voice of the Holy Spirit in your heart. All of you who are Christians here that have ever fallen away, you know what it's like when that little nagging voice, that little feeling in your heart that says your life is not right. It's just not right. We all know that. So God does not cease to communicate with us. Our trouble is that we try to approach him in the way Cain did. We try to approach him in something that comes from us and not what's expected of him. What did Jesus say in John 14:6? I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. So what is God's provision for us to approach God? Through Jesus. All right, mentors. Everybody agree that's the only way? So, how many people in this world are trying to get to God through religion? How many people in this world are trying to get to God by doing good things? How many people in this world are trying to get to God by building beautiful churches or by doing religious rituals or by following some rules that man has made up, says draw us close to God? Understand that in our lives, the only way to God is how? Through Jesus Christ, the sacrifice on the cross. Now, on the other side of that, folks, we cannot approach God except through Jesus. We cannot get to God through Jesus. But on the other side, once we are God's, we must do what God says. We must be available and willing and excited about doing his will. It's you know, I don't know if y'all know, sometimes when you come to church, there's an excitement, a stirring, an excitement. People are all pumped up and you can tell that everybody's in a good place, okay? Sometimes you come to church and, man, you guys are dead. Sometimes you come to church, I'm pretty dead up here. But I'm getting old. I have an excuse to get dead. I mean, I've been pastor here 7 years. Did you know 7 years ago when I took on this church, I did not have one gray hair? Well, maybe one. Maybe one. Because I already knew Bob. No. We tend to go with our mood, don't we? And I think Cain was in a bad mood that day. But won't we tend to serve God by our emotion and not by the reality? You know, we studied 2 Corinthians chapter 4 this morning. And Paul says, you know, I'm persecuted but not distressed. And I think sometimes in our lives, our approach to God is dictated by how well the week went, isn't it? If you get up on a Sunday morning, you folks with families, if you get up on a Sunday morning, you get the kids ready, everybody's ready on time, you head out the door to church, isn't church a lot more fun? Or the day that maybe the kids won't get dressed and nothing goes right and you burn the toast, coffee's nasty, the milk's sour. What kind of attitude do we approach God with that morning? Well, folks, sadly, that's what we bring to the table many times when we're approaching God. I get a kick out of Sunday mornings. Most of the time. I think it's funny. I see people running with wet hair, guys that forget to get the shaving cream off behind their ear. Sadly, once in a while, somebody forgot to brush their teeth. All kinds of stuff. It's funny to see how we're a victim of our circumstances, and we want to bring that to God. We want to approach Him. See, Cain was the eldest son. Cain should have been the example, but baby brother did the right thing. So his approach on that sacrifice thing, not only was it selfish, but it was also embarrassing. I think by the time he arrived there and saw what Abel had, he already knew, man, I'm in for a rough day. But we want to approach God and base that on how our lives are going. Understand this, folks. If you're saved and you're going to heaven, your life is going good. Okay? I don't care if the kids won't get ready. I don't care if you cut yourself with a razor. Ladies, I don't care if you're out of your favorite eyeliner. Life is good. Okay? God has given us salvation. He's given us through His Son the greatest sacrifice that could ever be given by a father. He handed His Son down that you and I might have it, and we have no right to dictate our love of God based on our situation. I've told you before, such a great joy. There's been Sundays I've come to church to preach and I've been sicker than a dog. But man, the minute I get in the church, it quits hurting. When I get home, it starts again. But while I'm at church, it's because God's made me realize if I just hand it to Him, He takes care of it. Takes care. Look at this day out here. Just look out the window. See the sun reflecting off the windows. Look at the green and the beauty of it and the little Christmas in the air. And it's Sunday, and I get to go to Hunan's. It's a good day. It's a good day. What happens to Cain? Let's look at verse 4. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. If we were to go over in the book of Law, Leviticus, we'd see the fat of the animal is what pleases God. And the Lord had respect unto Abel to his offering. And unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. Has your countenance ever fallen, folks? Yep, what's it mean? You're pouting. Cain was mad and he pouted. What sin of Adam and Eve's do you see in Cain right now? Pride? Is Cain taking responsibility for his actions? Is Cain acknowledging that he did something wrong? What did Adam and Eve do? Adam says, God, that nasty woman did it. Eve says, God, why'd you create that serpent? He did all this. Cain's pouting. You see mom and dad in Cain, don't you? You see the same thing and Adam and Eve did. You see it in Cain. God, you shouldn't have made the rule, and now that I've broken the rule, you shouldn't be mad at me. I can almost hear him in his head thinking, Mom, Dad, see what a mess you've made? I can see him pouting. And see his. I love it in the Bible. There's many times it uses that term, and his countenance fell. It just simply says, and he started pouting. He's feeling sorry for himself already. Now, verse 6 is wonderful. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou angry or wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? God says, Cain, why are you upset? Why, Cain, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. In other words, Cain, if you do the right thing, won't you be blessed? If you do the wrong thing, sin's going to get you. Is that not a beautiful... Parents, have you never sat down with your child when they were upset because of a rule they had broken and just says, you know, if you just do what you're supposed to do, if you just do what you're supposed to do, you will be blessed. If you don't, what right do you have to get angry? What right do we have to be angry when we sin? And God warns Cain that if you don't do the right thing, sin is going to get you. Did sin get Cain? Yeah. Folks, what we should pull out of this right now is this thought that when you sin, stop. When God convicts your heart, stop. If you don't stop at that point, you'll cross that line we talked about last week where it's real hard to ever get back. I imagine I could go through here and get testimonies of people who've crossed the line. And they would be willing to tell the rest of you that, yes, I crossed that line. And although God has forgiven me, I can never get back to where I was at because I've gone too far. The consequence of what I've done will be with me till the day I die. Doesn't mean you're not forgiven. When Cain refused to repent, sin took control of his life. When you and I in our lives feel God knocking at the door, when God says, stop what you're doing, folks, we have to stop at that point. Because sin becomes... Cain killed Abel. Jesus said, if you hate your brother, you've murdered him. That's tough. That's hard. You know, Cain, Jude 1:11. Jude wrote this. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Kor. And Kor is simply the name of Korah. Cain rejected God's provision for fellowship. Balaam hired himself out as a prophet. Korah refused to acknowledge the constituted authority that had been given to Moses. What Jude is saying is, he's talking about false teachers, that the way of Cain is when you decide you can have fellowship with God in a different way than God says you can have fellowship. What's an example of that in our society and what we do? Is that, folks, when we determine that we don't need to read the Bible, we're telling God, I don't need the provision you've given me. When we say, God, I don't need to go to church, we're telling God, I don't need the provision that you've given me. We're going in the way of Cain. We're following that same path. And the end of that path is destruction. This young man will face things that most of us couldn't handle. The curse that's going to be put on him is a horrible, horrible thing. Let's go down to verse 8. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel, thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? What is Cain doing here?
Lying.
Okay, he's lying, but what's it fall under?
Deceiving.
Deceitfulness?
No,
What if Cain would have fallen on his knees and said, God, I killed my brother? What would have happened? He could have restored his fellowship with God. Now, I know that's hard to take. You're thinking, Pastor, that wouldn't be fair. Well, our God is a righteous God. And if we confess our sins and repent of our sins, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. John tells me that if I'm in Cain's situation, that if I confess my sin, if I just confess it, and confession incorporates repentance, if I turn from my sin, that God will forgive me and He will cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Now, do you understand what application that has? It means not only will He forgive me, He will cleanse the filth from my life. If at this point Cain would have fallen to his knees and said, Almighty God, I've killed my brother, forgive me. God would not only have forgiven him, He would have taken away that attitude Cain had. What led him down this place? God cleanses us from an unrighteous. You know, when you become a Christian, when you repent of your sins, when you turn your lives to God, that at that point in time, God cleanses you from all unrighteousness. That's why I love to see children. I don't know how to explain to you. I wish you got to experience it the way I do. That when these children accept the Lord and I say to them, just pray. Just pray. I want you to talk to God. Some of the things that come out of their mouths would blow away the greatest theologians in the world. The innocence, the purity, the truth, the knowledge that they need to communicate with God would blow you away. Very seldom do I get to watch a child accept Christ that I don't get to cry while they're praying. It is that beautiful, and it's just pure innocence. And if Cain would have fallen to his knees and said, God, I did it, that is innocence. God would have restored him. God would have forgiven him. God would have taken and cleansed him from the dirt in his life and made him that new creature. And folks, that's what He'll do for every one of us. But Cain didn't do it. Cain chose to say, I don't know where he's at. That's kind of like when Adam told God, I'm naked, isn't it? Pretty stupid statement. If God is God, how can you lie to God? How can you tell Him? Honestly, in our lives, why do we think we can fool God? If we can fool Him, then we're in trouble, aren't we? How much time do we spend trying to deceive Him? You know, I've always wondered something. Wonder what it was like for Abel to be the first guy in paradise. Wouldn't have been nobody else there. He's the first person that died. You walk in the door and it's like getting in a brand new house or a new car. You know how it smells new? Walk right in. Now there were already angels in hell, the hell side of Hades, the punishment side. See, Cain destroyed Abel's life, but Abel got quite a reward out of the deal. He got to go on home and be in the presence of the Lord. Cain's decided that he can fool God, that he's going to rise up and lie to God, and God's not going to know. Verse 10, same thing God said to Adam, where art thou? God says, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. What comfort do you take out of that? Anybody take comfort from that passage? You should. This world can persecute you to death, but you know why? Those who die for the Lord, their blood cries out to God. That when you and I are abused or treated bad by society, God knows it. He hears it. He feels it. He sees it. He's always there for us. Verse 11. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which has opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. And Cain said unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. How many of you in here are professional procrastinators? Be honest. I'll admit it. I'm a recovering procrastinator. How many times do we put things off thinking we can fix it later? Don't we do that a lot? Thinking, you know, if I don't do this right now, I'll get it done tomorrow or when I wake up from my nap. That's my best line. Take a little nap, get my energy up, then I can go do it. What do you think it was like for Cain when he realized it was too late? Thy punishment is greater than I can bear. Do you realize the seriousness of those who die without knowing Jesus Christ? There is no second chance. There is no purgatory. There is no promise in Scripture that we can do anything when we die but to enter into judgment. What's it going to be like for those who realize they waited one day too long? Even us Christians, we have to stand before the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 will tell us that all of us will stand before the throne of God. That for all the deeds we've done, be they good or evil, what is it going to be like when we wait one day too long? Do we cry out to God, my punishment is greater than I can bear? How do we handle that? How do us procrastinators that put things off and off and off, you know, it's a pretty common mindset for Christians to think, I can get right with God tomorrow. I've just got to get past this spot. Well, really what we're saying is I just got to sin a little bit more before I turn my life over to God. Or God, I know what you want me to do, but I'm just not ready to do it, but we'll fix it tomorrow. What happens if tomorrow we face Him and we have to say, God, the burden's greater than I can bear? You know, the superficial Christians of this world, I think, face that a lot. It really breaks my heart at times to see Christians who are part of a church, whether it's our church or other churches in town, that live a life that's not an example. You hear them cursing. You hear them telling the dirty jokes. You hear them treating people bad. Claiming that their Christian life and their secular life are separate. They're not. They're both the same, or you ain't true blue. And I wonder what's going to happen when we have to acknowledge to God that I waited too long to get it right. My punishment's greater than I can bear. See, Cain come to a realization that there's no one bigger than God at this point. Some of us have been there in our lives, have been knocked to our knees, have looked up into heaven and cried out for mercy, saying, God, I cannot do it anymore. And thankfully, my precious loving God reached down and picked me up from my knees. And He held me in His arms. And He said, my child, the consequence of your action is there. You'll live through it. But you can walk with me from this point forward. Cain never cried out for forgiveness. Do you understand with Adam and Eve? Did you ever, at any time in Adam and Eve's story, ever hear them say, I'm sorry, God? Can you read anything into the Bible where Adam and Eve ever repented? Do you see it in Cain? Does he repent? Did he ever learn repentance from his parents? Repentance means for us to turn our lives around. I still submit to you right now, if at this point Cain would have just acknowledged his sin and turned to God with a pure heart, forgiveness could have been his. Folks, you're good. If you read on this chapter, you're going to see that his great, great, great grandson, Lamech, knew the story of granddad and even boasted about killing someone. All because Adam and Eve took of the fruit, all because Cain followed the passion of his heart and not the rules of God. How many generations is that we can see? Five generations, just recorded here, that tell us because of one sin, one person or two people refusing to take accountability for their actions, we're where we're at today. Now, what excitement can we find in this story? What is in this that can make us happy? Well, the wonderful thing is that I don't have to do what Cain did. You know, sometimes, I'm going to be truthful, I've been preaching a long time. I know most of you think you've been preaching a long time this morning. I've been preaching a long time, okay? It still amazes me at times when I forget how easy forgiveness is. You know, I do. I'll be burdened with something in my own life. I'll be torn. I'll be just feeling that pain of separation and fellowship with God. And I forget how easy it is to restore my fellowship with Him. And I get so excited when I remember that at any moment, no matter where you're at in your relationship with God, if sin has gotten into your life, all you have to do is turn away from it. It is that easy. Sadly, we all kind of carry a little bit of Cain in us. We don't want to acknowledge God's provisions. We want to do it our way. We want to get mad when we get called out on it. We want to get upset because God challenges us. We don't want to give God our best. We want to lie to God, think we're fooling Him. But the joy of this story is that at any moment in time, you and I can turn back to Him. And with His open and loving arms, He'll take us in and He will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Wouldn't you like to be clean today? How many of you like to be funky? Not much fun. I challenge you to hold up your hand. Go ahead and say, I don't mind stinking. Go ahead. It's no fun to be nasty, is it? Today, you can walk out of here clean. Not from Head and Shoulders or Dial, but from the blood of Jesus Christ. Please stand. Just a moment, we'll sing a song. Maybe God's touched your heart today and says, you know what? You and I are out of fellowship. You're mad at your brother. Maybe you and I are out of fellowship because you've already done something. Maybe God's saying, what you've been offering me is not what I asked for. You're trying to give me what you want to. Folks, you can walk away from here feeling good. You think about how easy it is to be forgiving. It is exciting. So today, if you need forgiveness, get you some. See, I'm going to leave here today forgiven. I'm going to leave here today clean. And I'm going to go to Hunan's a happy man. You can have that too. Bow your head, close your eyes. Lord God, this morning I pray if there's anyone here whose fellowship with you has been broken, maybe they've went the way of Cain. Maybe they're rebelling against that authority that you set down to say, approach me through the blood of my son. Maybe they're not offering up to you the pure gifts that you ask for. Maybe like me, God, that they want to decide for you what you get from me. Lord, if there's any here today like that, touch their hearts. Fill them with a conviction that says, just give it over to Him. Lord, if today there's some here that do not know you as their Lord and Savior, Oh, dear God, help them to understand that the curse on them is a horrible thing. It's condemnation in hell. But all they have to do is come, accept, and take and be bathed in the blood of your Son, and they will be forgiven. Oh, God, this day, touch our hearts, dear Lord. In thy name we pray. Amen.